Take your Bibles, please, and open them to Exodus chapter 12, where we'll begin to consider some of the great truths from God's matchless word this day. What I'd like to share with you today, I've titled The Dumbing Down of Christianity, or The Importance of Education. In the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the phrase dumbing down has been added, the modern term, I suppose, and it means to lower the level of difficulty and consequently the intellectual content. They do that in textbooks. They do that in universities and high schools and public schools. At almost every level today, people have been dumbed down. This is especially true in Christianity. We have so many different sects and denominations, so many people who purport to be Christian or been raised as Christian or love the Lord Jesus Christ that don't have the necessary knowledge to really bring them to the place that God would intend to have them be brought to. So the general level of intelligence of entire society has been brought down. The Urban Dictionary simply says to make stupider. And I think that if we use the word stupid, that's kind of an insulting word. It's a derogatory term. But to reduce the intelligence of it. I guess with that in mind, the equation is between intelligence and knowledge. Of course, we know knowledge is power, but you could be quite intelligent and act quite foolishly. You could not perhaps apply yourself. But as intelligent as you are, you're born as pretty much a blank slate, and so you need to have something to put into that mind. You have to have something to teach you, something to give you a foundation from which you can move forward. You can build upon the foundation, but if you don't have one, you're at a loss because you're starting with really no knowledge, and then this makes you susceptible to every wind of doctrine that comes along. As a matter of fact, it says in Ephesians that We should be no more like children, blown to and fro, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You know, like the waves of the sea, how they toss something to and fro. And that's how many people are in Christianity. You see, dumbing down is a deliberate deliberate action of the intellectual level of education. It's done deliberately. It's done in literature, it's done in cinema, it's done in the news, it's done culturally. And although I said it's a relatively modern term, modern in the sense of since 1933, it was used in movie business slang, actually, and screenplay writers used it, meaning to revise something so as to appeal to those of little education or intelligence. Where we are today, in a republic such as ours, we are dependent upon an educated citizenry. It's crucial to all Americans, especially college graduates, that they are all familiar, fully familiar, with the rights and responsibilities that are set out in our basic document, in other words, the Constitution. The same dumbing down that has happened in America has happened in Christianity for, well, since its incept. It's one of the greatest ways to defeat God's people that the adversary has found, and that is to keep them ignorant. God, therefore, chose in His Word to set many, many standards for memorializing things that are of great importance so that His people would never forget. One such record is found in Exodus which is very familiar to us. It's about the Passover. The children of Israel, as you know, were in bondage in Egypt. And why they became in bondage in Egypt was of historical significance, which is found in the Bible. And we are here familiar with it. And I suppose a number of Christians throughout the world are familiar with it. A number of Jews should be familiar with it. But it's the kind of thing that you don't want to forget. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, made it a command. And here we find it in chapter 12 of Exodus. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. Little side note here. In society today, the notion of neighbors has been greatly diminished. You know, it used to be, when I was growing up as a kid in New York, and of course New York, everybody was always suspicious of everyone else because of the great number of people and different levels of crime and various aspects of the culture. Even despite that, your neighbors looked out for you. If you didn't come home from school or your parents weren't home on time, you could go to your neighbors, or maybe the neighbor would have a key so that you could get into your house, or the neighbors would call your parents. There was always that wonderful association between neighbors. Maybe some of you have had the joy and privilege of having a neighborhood where the neighbors spoke to one another, where the neighbors were friendly one with another. Well, that particular idea goes way back to the children of Israel and before. But over time, it has become eroded. Today, we have a new neighbor next to us. His name is Doug. He's a real nice guy. I like Doug a lot. His dad came up and visited, spent a good time chatting with him. Great guy. But the first thing Doug told me is nobody would talk to him when he moved into his house there. He'd say, wave at people, and they wouldn't wave back. Even here in Alaska, and this has been the kind of place since we've lived here where people would always wave and are friendly and neighborly. Even here, this has been eroded because the world at large, the God of this world, who is the devil, seeks to fragment people so that you have fragmentation, separation instead of unity. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Neither shall they eat it raw nor sodden at all with water, sodden meaning boiled, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. Thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods, little g, of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day, look at this, shall be unto you for a what? A memorial. He was speaking of what they were to do on that first time, that first instance on the Passover, when they were still in bondage, in slavery to the Egyptians. And he was going to deliver them. This was the last and final plague that was brought upon the Egyptians, for Pharaoh refused to let God's people go. And this particular action that they were to take was given to them in detail, time, date, what to do, how to do it, and so forth. And then they were to keep that as a memorial, as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. To the Lord throughout your generations, you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put it away, leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that every man must eat, which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whomsoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. And then, of course, Moses called the people together and gave them that information. Notice how God reiterated this. He was emphatic about it. Time, date, place, how to do it, and you keep it as a memorial forever. And that particular concept is found throughout the scripture. Now, of course, for us, Jesus Christ is our Passover, because the Passover, the lamb that was slain, the flesh of the lamb that was consumed, the blood of the lamb that was spilled and put on the doorposts, was not just so that the angel of death would acknowledge the children of Israel at Passover, but also as a foreshadowing of the salvation which was to come. And the children of Israel were to remember that salvation and never, ever, ever forget it. We, as Christians today, observe what is called a communion memorial. And again, it is a memorial. We are to remember what that spilled blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ means. What his broken body, his flesh, what that means. What that means to us. What it cost God to save us, to redeem us. It wasn't cheap. It was free to us, but it was extraordinarily costly, beyond comprehension, to God and to our Savior, our Lord, his Son. And we are to never, ever, ever forget that. And yet today we see how this memorial service has been relegated to nothing more than a rote ceremony performed by different Christian organizations in different ways, with little, if any, acknowledgement of the truth behind it, the history behind it, the scriptural history behind it. And essentially, Christianity has been dumbed down because they've not been taught all of the history that precedes that great sacrifice of our Lord. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve and their disobedience in the garden, and what that meant, and what God had to do as a result, and his promise to bring forth a Savior. Look in Deuteronomy. Of course, the children of Israel did forget. It wasn't long after they were delivered from Egypt that they began to complain and murmur because they forgot. They chose not to remember what God had done for them. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, a passage that I find to be very important, I've thought so for many years, the essence of the truth in it. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord, your God, commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, referring to the land of milk and honey, the land of promise. That thou mightest fear, that is reverence, the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. He's emphatic about this. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And they were to teach it to their children and their children's children so they wouldn't forget. One of the great things they were supposed to teach is where they came from and what God had done to deliver them so that nobody would forget it. Because as generations go on, people tend to forget. Memory grows dim. And if people aren't reminded, if there isn't a memorial, then soon all of that will be forgotten. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Lord our God is one Lord. Right there, Christianity has been dumbed down. Today, in the multitude of denominations, most of who will disavow their association with the Romish Church, they all, for the most part, with rare exception, embrace the doctrine of the Romish Church, the doctrine of the Trinity, suggesting that there are three, not one, three gods, not one. The children of Israel were to pound this into their children's heads, pound it into their own heads, pound it into the, if I may use that word, pound it into their grandchildren, to their children's children's children. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Bind them for a sign upon thy hand, frontlets between thine eyes, on the post of the house. Today, well, I could tell you this from my experience in New York City, and my wife can attest to this, because we've known a number of Jewish people over the years. We've rented homes that previously belonged to Jewish people. And in almost every Jewish house, or previously owned by Jewish people that we ever rented or walked into, on the doorpost going in the house, there was what they call a masseuse. I think is how they pronounce that. In other words, a little icon of a scroll, usually painted over several times, because people tend to paint their doorposts and everything over and over again. And there it was on the doorpost, little masseuse. See, my wife had a Jewish nanny, so she knows some of these things. My wife is a half-Jew, right? Sort of. No, she says no, but yes. But anyway, there on the doorpost, this little masseuse, or whatever, little scroll, little icon of a scroll painted over. And if you notice the Orthodox Jews, the Hasidic Jews, they have usually something on their hand. You ever notice that? And then they wear what's called a phylactery, which is, it almost looks like a headlamp. You know, I use a headlamp when I take care of my dogs, my sled dogs in the winter. You know, I get this headlamp so I can see what I'm doing and my hands are free. That's what it looks like. It's a little plastic container, and in that is a scripture. That's not what he was talking about. What he was talking about is, you enter my house, the first thing we talk about is the word. It's in my mind. It's before my mind. It's in my hands. The word is in my hands. It was reduced and has been reduced, even amongst the Jews who were directly given this command, it's been reduced to nothing more than ceremony and a little painted over icon on the doorpost. And maybe a little plastic phylactery on the forehead. You see, we need to get to the place where we never forget what God has done for us. And that's true for every aspect of our lives. If you forget all these things, then you will soon revert back to where you came from. There's that old saying, that quote, a number of people are credited with this particular quote, but I'm sure you're familiar with it. And it goes as follows. He who forgets history is doomed to repeat it. That's true in our country today. You hear people interview other people, high school, college students, and even interviewing educated people who are in the teaching profession, and they know nothing about the background of our country. I heard a young person, when asked what year the Revolutionary War was, tell the interviewer 1982. That the Revolutionary War was in 1982. And who did we gain our independence from? Well, we gained it from the Russians. What? I mean, no knowledge of that. How much more important is it in Christianity when you have so many Christians who do not understand the basics of the truths of why we needed a Savior, and what that cost God, and the history behind all of that? Throughout the Word of God, this is memorialized. I remember my friend Vince's house. I've mentioned this before, but it's in my mind. It's always been in my mind. I stayed in one of his children's rooms one time as I was visiting there. And on a piece of paper, written on a piece of paper, on the back of the door in the kid's room, was that phrase, never forget what God has done for you. So every time you walk out that door, you'd see that. What a great thing to put on every door. Never forget what God has done for you. This is why we used to, in our homes, put scriptures on the walls to remind us of God's word. Look in Judges 3. So important. So very important. Joshua, Judges. Judges. Of course, by the time we get to the book of Judges, the children of Israel were in bad shape more often than not. But here, look at verse 7. The children of Israel, Judges 3:7, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God. And you know what they did? They served Balaam in the groves. By the same measure of ignorance, we have people today who don't believe that this country was founded on Christian principles. Make no mistake, it was. You change that and you go back to some other form of ruling and government that will deny you your liberties and your freedoms. For only a Christian would be tolerant of somebody else's beliefs. Only a Christian would defend another person's right to believe as they choose. It is vitally important that we do not forget these things. Look in Psalms. Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verse 7, talking about the children of Israel. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked at the sea, even the Red Sea. Now, they got to the Red Sea pretty soon after they were delivered from Egypt. And right there at the Red Sea, they began to complain and murmur and argue with Moses. And why did you bring us here? We were comfortable and warm by the flesh pots of Egypt. No, they weren't. They were slaves. And the Pharaoh at that time made their servitude even more difficult than previously. But they forgot. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. Someday, read that entire psalm. It gives you a synopsis of what they did, how they forgot. Look in Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Well, if they didn't remember they were redeemed from the hand of the enemy, why would they say that? In Christianity, it's the same truth. If we start to think that we perfected our flesh by our own actions, then we've missed the whole point of the whole thing. We're not capable of doing that before, and we're not capable of doing it now. We were saved because of God's love and mercy and grace, and that he gave us his Son, who was loving, merciful, and gracious also, and obedient to the Father, to the end that he lived a perfect life so he could sacrifice himself for us and spill his perfect, sinless blood for our sinful blood, that we might be redeemed. There's so many truths regarding that people ignore. That's why when you see certain individuals in certain church groups, they look down their nose at other people. Person walks in, he's a new person or whatever, maybe doesn't look so good, maybe he's not dressed so well, maybe he doesn't know anything. The person who's been there a while and thinks such and such of themselves looks at that other person with that holier-than-thou attitude. You know that stuff happens. It shouldn't. It only happens because the person who adopted the holier-than-thou attitude, forgot where they came from. Never forget what God has done for you. Never forget where you came from. Look in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We're going to forget some, but let's not forget them all. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. What a wonderful passage. Look in Psalm 119. This is that great psalm where every verse acknowledges God's word. The word is mentioned in different ways, described by different words, statutes, precepts, law, and so forth. But every single verse in Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, every single verse acknowledges the word of God. I picked out a few that talk about memorial and talk about remembering. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. How else would you know them if you're not taught? Verse 26, I have declared my ways, thou heardest me, teach me thy statutes. Verse 33, teach me thy way, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Verse 64, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy, teach me thy statutes. Verse 66, thou art good and doest good, teach me thy statutes. Verse 108. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Verse 124. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. And verse 135. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Why? So that I don't forget. If I don't have my head in the word to some degree, I am doomed to forget it. This is why throughout God's word, he has emphasized memorials, to memorialize different things, different events, so that we don't forget them, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. You know, today it has become so increasingly difficult to erect a memorial that it's almost impossible. With the terrible tragedies of 9/11, 2001, it still took, 12, 13 years to put up a memorial there. And today, there are many people who've forgotten what took place then. And that wasn't that long ago, folks. That was, 14 years ago? And people they were so incensed at the time because of the impact of it all, but little by little, if we could forget something, become desensitized to something so horrific that took place just a little over a decade ago, how much more easily will it be for us to forget the great truths of God's Word, our great need as people in corrupt situations because of the sin of Adam, how much easier to forget that? I mean, for me, I got saved and taught accurately almost 40 years ago now. That's almost four decades. How easy would it be to forget all that? I've seen it happen time and time again. Like it's happening in our country today. If you want an example, there's a living one for you in our country. People today take their liberties for granted, have no idea what it took to give them the liberties that they have, and aren't willing to be a part of maintaining those liberties. Same thing is true with Christianity. It's so fragmented today. Our country is being fragmented, just like Christianity. Have all these separate groups instead of a United States of America. Well, look at Christianity. We don't have united Christians today. We have Christians who focused on one aspect of God's Word and look down on others who don't look at that aspect the same way. It's splintered. And that is part of the dumbing down of Christianity. Look in 2 Peter. Don't go there yet. Go back to Psalm 119. Then we'll go to 2 Peter. Sorry about that. Verse 16 of Psalm 119. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Verse 83. I am become like a bottle in the smoke. I'm old and the world has beaten me up. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. You know, when you're young, life is, pretty easy. And as time goes on, life gets more difficult. That's just the way life is. And the world can beat you up. And yet the psalmist said, I do not forget thy statutes. I do not. Look in verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts. Why? For with them thou hast quickened me, made me alive. Psalm 109, verse 109. My soul is continually in thy hand, yet do I not forget thy law. Verse 139. My zeal hath consumed me because thine enemies have forgotten thy words. Verse 141. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. And lastly, the last verse, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Why? For I do not forget thy commandments. Never forget. And the greatest way to not forget is to be taught. And when you're talking about young people who've never heard, now's the time. When you're talking about young people, I don't mean necessarily chronologically young. Young in the Word. People who haven't been introduced to the Word. Do your best to share what you do know. Encourage them to look for themselves, that they can see the great memorials. And memorials are important, folks. This is why God has it throughout His Word. This is why history in any country is preserved. You want to preserve the history of the Word, just like you want to preserve the history of our country, not because you want that person to have all kinds of facts so that they can spit out all kinds of facts, or that they, you know, rise to different levels of acumen regarding that. No, it's so that you as an individual get a sense of belonging, a sense of family, a sense of purpose, a sense of, I'm part of this. In Christianity, in the Word of God, we are reproved in Corinthians, where the Corinthians were told that the body of Christ, we're all members, and each one of us has a particular purpose. We are interdependent, and we are interrelated. And the splintering of Christianity throughout denominations via the dumbing down of the Christians within the given denominations since the inception of Christianity, that has caused the splintering to where people are not interconnected any longer. That's the purpose of it. Same thing in our country. Today, look at the country. You want an example, a living example, just look at the country. You have people talking about their cultural backgrounds. They're looking to bring in Sharia law in place of the law of the land and other things of like fashion. It's very important that we don't forget these things, both spiritually, scripturally, and also civilly, because it's all part of our lives. And these great liberties that we have enable us to pursue our scriptural understandings. 2 Peter, if you go there now, please. Por favor. 2 Peter, we'll conclude here. It's about establishing an understanding of belonging. I like to use the word family because that's what Christian is all about. Used the word neighbor before. That's pretty much a lost concept these days, isn't it? Although I will say that Alaskans in general are, generally speaking, very neighborly and generous. When a person, I've seen it numerous times here in the Valley and Anchorage, other places, when a person gets in trouble, lose their home to a fire or something like that, the communities jump in and help. That's undeniable. But even that is diminished from what it used to be. You know, it used to be, well, when I lived in Fairbanks in 81, if you got stuck on the side of the road, the first person that passed would stop. You wouldn't have to wait for, you know, 15, 20 people. The very first person who passed would stop to help you. That sense of neighborliness, of helping your neighbor, of reaching out to help the other guy, was part of the code of the North for many, many years. And it's still here, and I'm thankful to God that it is. I am. But my mama didn't raise no fool. I can see that it's been corroded. I can see that it's not what it used to be. Our whole country is turning that way. Christianity is perhaps worse now than ever along those lines. Well, we can at least, as individuals, do our best to reach out to our fellow man, and certainly to take care of our families, and certainly to reach out to other Christians when these situations present themselves. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, how? Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then we're to add to it, with diligence, all diligence, we're to add virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. And then it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful, again, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off. Why? Because he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, this is what Peter said, I will not be negligent to put you always in what? Remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. And then he concludes with, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease, because he knew he wouldn't live forever, to have these things always in remembrance. Sometimes when you hear the same truths over and over again in the Word, from the Word, perhaps you are tempted to say, well, I already know that. Oh, let's move on to something else. Let me learn something else. But the truth of it is, you can never, ever, ever, ever hear it too often. Repetition still aids learning, and it certainly increases your memory, which I guarantee you, as you grow older, shall have deficits. So I encourage you to not allow anyone within your sphere of influence to be dumbed down without your giving out a helping hand or a helping hand up. And of course, don't ever allow yourself to be dumbed down, whether it be scripturally or civilly. Go to the Word of God. Make yourself familiar with the great memorials and truths in God's Word, and familiarize yourself with the history that surrounds your life as an American citizen, because that also is vitally important, unless we wind up hiding behind closed doors so we can read our Bibles. Okay? That's a little bit about the dumbing down of Christianity and the importance of education.